November 15, 1989, we are continuing to tape George H. Washington. Mr. Washington, we were talking about your school days, and what kind of books did you have in school when you were small, the first school you went to?
Well, as I remember, they were state adopted books. I don't remember the name now, but they were adopted by the state of South Carolina.
Were they reading, spelling?
Reading, spelling, arithmetic, science.
What kind of writing materials or pens or pencils did you have?
Well, we had the regular adopted writing book.
When you moved from there, you said you moved from there and went to an... Is that when you came to Seneca to go to school?
That's right. I came to Seneca in 1917 as a fourth grader, and I attended the school here in Seneca, known as the public school for colored people. Then it went to the 10th grade.
How was that school different from the school you'd attended before?
Well, we had six teachers. One I attended before was a one-teacher school with 150 students.
How many children did a teacher have in this school, the six teachers?
They averaged about 40 children to a room.
Were there any special courses like we have today, such as gym and music?
No, we didn't have anything like that.
Basic reading and writing and arithmetic?
That's all we had, basic reading, writing, and arithmetic.
And you went there from fourth through how many years?
Through the 10th grade.
And could you tell me about the Seneca Institute, what year that was started? The Seneca Institute.
The Seneca Institute was founded in 1899. And it was rebuilt in 1909.
Do you know who began it?
Yes, the late Dr. J.J. Starks was the founder of Seneca Institute.
Explain the Seneca Institute to me. I'm not sure about it. How many grades and the structure of it?
Seneca Institute was recognized standard high school for a number of years, and it was supported by the Baptist churches of Oconee County. That is the Black Baptist churches.
Did it have regular grades like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th?
Yes, you could get all grades. We think of it as a union high school, grades 1 through 12.
Now, who could come to this school?
Well, it was organized just for colored people, but they...
From what areas, though? From how far away?
From the areas of Oconee County. They could come here out of the state of Georgia, or anywhere in South Carolina, or any place in the United States, as far as that goes.
When you graduated from this institute, was it considered a high school diploma?
Yes. 12th grade. We had the 12th grade, and that's where I finished. I did 2 years of work there.
In
11th and 12th grades.
The other thing I wanted to ask you, sometimes I hear it called junior college. Was it Seneca Institute or Seneca Junior College?
It was Seneca Institute to start with. And in later years, they put on two courses of college. And that's why they changed the name to Seneca Junior College.
Did you go there when it was called junior college?
Yes. I finished there in the year of 1927. From the high school department.
Do you have any interesting stories or anything special you can remember about the Institute or the college that, or a special person in your life at that time?
Yes, that was my first milestone in education. That was my foundation there, which encouraged me to continue my education.
Now, you said your sisters went there, too.
Yes. Four sisters finished there. One finished in the junior high school. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
One finished in the junior high school, and the other finished the high school department there. Four sisters.
What was the attendance? How many children went there?
I imagine we had around 350 children there.
How many teachers?
Well, I believe it was 10 teachers and a principal.
Was there any kind of a library?
Yes, we had a small library.
And what were the basic courses taught there?
Regular high school basic course was taught there, along with typing for several years.
Like English and history?
Oh, yeah.
And math?
That's right.
Anything like chemistry or physics or anything like that taught?
Oh, yeah, we had chemistry and physics. In fact, we had, I think, three doctors who became doctors after they finished there. Dr. B.S. Sharp of this city, and Dr. Newton Dorr, who settled in Gainesville, Georgia, and Dr. Riley, who settled in Rock Hill, South Carolina.
So you had a distinguished class, or several of the Negroes did well after going there.
Oh, yes. These are some of the early students of the Seneca Institute.
Did any of your neighbors or friends go to the college?
Oh, yes. For a number of years, this was the only high school for colored people in this county. And then they put it on the college courses, as I said, the last some several years.
How about cost? Did it cost you anything to go there?
Yes, we had tuition. It was reasonable, I think, back in those times, about $5 or $6 a month, about all we paid.
Did you bring your own lunches, or was there a cafeteria?
No, we brought our own lunches. Cafeterias had come in style at that time.
Is there anything else you can tell me about that school that was different, or memorable as a beginning school?
Well, we had a good basketball team, good football team there for a number of years.
Any other sports?
We had a printing office there where they taught printing, and had band there several years. Our president left, Dr. Starth, went to Morris College, and Dr. H.B. Hancock came and taught some several years, I don't know how many. And following Dr. Hancock was Dr. J.W. Pennigan from North Carolina. He stayed there 2 years. And following that was Dr. W.W.L. Clark. And he was there for several years. And Dr. J.D. Bryant followed him. All those individuals have been dead for some time.
The college was started by the Baptists. Was it a very religious school?
Yes.
Could you tell me about that?
It was supported by the Baptist churches of Oconee County.
And these were all Negro?
These were all Negroes, that's right. And we went to church. Students that boarded in went to church, Sunday school every Sunday here in the community. And religious education was recognized very highly in school.
Did you have very many out-of-town students who boarded?
Oh, yes.
How many were there?
I guess we had 150, 175 out of Greenville, out of Georgia, out of a little part of South Carolina, just all around.
Now, when did the, what was the last year, or around when did the college stop? Do you remember?
I don't remember the date exactly. It seemed like it was about 1900 and 45, I imagine.
You were telling me about some problems that with this school and the training school and your father. Could you tell me about that again, clear that up a little bit?
Yes, we did not have a state-supported high school for colored people. So a wealthy individual, a Jew, came to this town in some way. My daddy got in touch with him. And he told the colored people he would match them dollar for dollar if they'd raise money for the Oconee County Training School. My father was a trustee of a Seneca school, along with Mr. George Scott and Mr. Sloan. I don't remember his first name. Archie Sloan. And they raised money. I don't know how much, but they got enough to get the school started. And there was a fine, distinguished doctor, white doctor, who played a major role in the development of this school. And I believe it was established or organized in 1925. And I think it opened in 1926, was the first year it operated. Well, it took 4 years to become a high school. But they turned out some very fine graduates.
What was the name of this school?
Yes, I'm still talking about the Oconee County Training School.
And what was the name of the Jewish man who started it?
The Jewish man who started this project was, let me pause a minute and think of his name again.
His name was?
The Rosenwald. And he organized, it's instrumental in organizing several schools throughout the state, the southern states of South Carolina.
You wanted to say something different, Mr. Washington, that it wasn't the southern states of South Carolina.
Of southern states.
Of our country.
Of the United States.
Right. You said your baby sister went there. What is her name?
That's Mrs. Inez W. McNeil. She did her junior college work there and then went on to South Carolina State in Orangeburg and also to A&T College in Greensboro, North Carolina, where she received her master's degree.
When did she go to the school? Do you remember?
No, I don't. I'll call her.
The other thing, you told me about some problems that the Seneca Institute was upset about this college being formed and upset with your daddy. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, the misunderstanding or misinformation that came around was because this Oconee County Training School, the children could attend there without paying a fee because it was state supported. And people just didn't understand. They felt that my father was fighting the Seneca Institute. But the people in gym here, white and colored, felt that it was time to have a state-supported high school for colored people. And that mistake, as they said it was, is still in operation today, even though San Antonio College has been closed for some time.
Going back a bit to your school in the 4th through 7th grade, can you tell me anything about any of those teachers, any special teachers that stood out in your mind? Any good stories?
Yes. First, let me say I had a high respect for my principal at the city school, Mr. J.W. Johnson. And we had a Mrs. Lucille Law, had a Mrs. Scott, and several more. In fact, all the teachers stands out very clearly in my mind as good teachers that didn't teach only books, but they taught chivalry, you might say. In other words, they had a lot of respect for the students.
What year did your oldest sister die from the flu? You told me about her dying from the flu and you all moved.
She died in 1924.
And what was her name?
P-R-U-B-E-N-C-E, Prunix.
Do you remember, could you tell me again where you said you moved because of that, to be closer to her?
Well, we moved to Oklahoma County because of the Seneca Institute.
Oh, that's really why you moved,
that's
because
right.
of the school.
That's right. That's what brought us here.
You moved to go to the Institute, and then you attended the grade school here first?
That's correct. I attended grade school here from 4th grade through the 10th grade. And I had 2 years of Seneca Institute, which at that reason become the Seneca Junior College.
Could you tell me again about what you all had to do when you thought your daddy was going to war? I didn't understand all of that when I listened to the tape. You said that there were some things you were doing to get prepared for when you thought your daddy was going to World War I.
As I remember, when we learned that my father was going to World War I, he knew about it, so we happened to be in the potato patch, digging our potatoes so we could store them away for the winter. And the war, as I remember, closed on the 18th day of
November.
November. And, of course, we heard the whistles blowing, and bells ringing, church bells ringing. And we found out shortly that that was due to the fact that the World War had come to a close.
Can you tell me again about your idea in World War II that worked? I'd like to hear more about that, more detail.
Well, in World War II, I was given permission to stay on the home front because of my political and civic work that I was done at that time. So we got out of work, or in fact, when school closed, I took a chance and went to Detroit, Michigan, and seeking work at the Murray Body plant, where they were making airplane parts. I was employed there. And I had to take an examination before I could get a job. I worked there 3 or 4 days. And then I gave the company an idea of how to load scrap aluminum. You know what I'm talking
scrap
about.
Aluminum?
Aluminum, scrap aluminum. And all of the officials, just about, at least 25 or 30, interviewed me. And after the interview, they took my idea, accepted my idea. And my idea was, we had a rubber hose and a small engine, and we could blow that aluminum into the car box. It was similar to the old cotton gin. And that replaced 39 men, reduced it to one man to blow that material into the car box, which saved thousands of dollars from the government.
Did you receive anything special for doing this?
Or? I was given a lifetime job, but I didn't accept it. I came back to North Carolina to teach.
Where did you teach in North Carolina then?
I taught in one kind of training school that was organized by the same man that organized the Oconee County Training School, Mr. Rosenwald. My wife was there, and I returned and worked there until 1972. The school name was changed twice while I was there.
The name, what were the names?
It was changed to the North Warren High School. Then later, when we integrated, it was known as the Elementary School in Wise, North Carolina.
Elementary School in Wise?
That's right.
And originally it was the Warren County?
Warren County, and then it went to North Warren. And then when we integrated, it just became an elementary school.
You and your sisters were well educated. Was this unusual in your neighborhood? Or in Seneca?
Well, not necessarily, mm-hmm. but from the fact that all of us, all five of us, went to school, that was kind of unusual.
You mean other families, they wouldn't all go, maybe one or two?
That's right.
Well, how about other parts of South Carolina, though? Wasn't this unusual?
Yes, it was.
Especially the section you had lived in, as Belton.
Well, I'd say we're going to use it throughout the South.
Right. I have some other questions. What kind of organizations did your older relatives belong to when you were young, such as fraternal, burial societies, sewing clubs?
Well, my father was a Mason, played a third-degree Mason, and church work. He's very active in church. My mother was an Eastern Star, and she was a member of several local clubs that was in operation at that time.
Do you remember what kind of clubs they were? Excuse me.
Missionary work. They met, I think, once or twice a month. All that was church-related clubs or that.
What about older relatives, like grandparents? Do you remember any clubs they belonged to?
No, the only thing I remember they belonged to was a church.
Do you remember?
They were deep religious people, all of my folks.
Do you know who any of the leaders were of any of the groups or organizers of any of the groups they belonged to?
Well, my mother was president of several church groups, and also treasurer. So,
where did these groups meet?
They met in the neighborhood and various homes.
In the church, any of them?
Yeah, they met at church at the time. And of course, we are continuing that now. The missionaries of the church meet in several homes.
Do you remember how often any of the things your mother belonged to met?
Well, as I just said, I think they met once or twice a month.
How about your father's Masons?
Well, they met every month. They took a lot of pride in that Masonry.
Was he a leader in the Masons?
Yeah, he wished for master twice. I mean, he was the head knocker.
Head knocker?
Yeah. Or the head leader in the Masons for several years. And that's why I myself now, I'm a 33rd degree Mason. This is how you can go in color race, 33rd degree, and that's honorary.
What did any of these groups do for the community that your folks belong to? Did they do any...
Well, I think they did a lot of missionary work, such as helping the sick. Sometimes they have to bury the dead. Someone didn't have sufficient money to buy caskets with. They fell in line with that. And I believe the first color undertaker in this county, Mr. W.D. Addison, the Mason bought his hearse.
This was W.D. Addison,
that's
the
right.
First colored undertaker?
That's right.
And the Masons bought the hearse?
That's right.
So they did that kind of thing?
That's right.
Can you remember any other examples such as that?
No, I don't think I can think of anything else.
Do you know of any members of your family who voted in the 19th century, in the 1800s?
I don't know of any.
Did any of your members of your family talk about voting, or?
Oh, yes. They talked about it a good deal, and they were very anxious to vote. But after we got to where we could vote, it seemed like we don't care about it.
Do you remember the first family member who voted?
Well, my father.
You think he was first?
That's right.
Do you know if any of your ancestors were free before the Civil War?
Yes. My mother's grandfather was free. He lived in Greenwood County.
Greenwood County?
Greenville.
Oh, County. Greenville.
That's right. He was free. I don't know of any others.
Once the war was over, was there any difference between black people who had been slaves and those who were free persons of color before the war? Did you feel any, did they?
You might stay in that question.
Yeah, that's a long question. Was there any difference between the colored people who had been slaves and those who were free persons of color before the war? Did they have any different status in society or different feelings toward each other?
Not to my knowledge, other than I can say that the mulattoes were most of the leaders after the war for a number of years. They seemed to know a little more about organizations and so forth. That was because of their heritage from the white people.
I have some questions. When you were growing up, the colored people treat mulattoes differently from other blacks?
No, to my mind, that they became our first leaders, and we accepted them very highly.
How about white people? How did they treat the mulattoes?
Well, in some cases, mulattoes seemed like they were treated a little better than the dark skin.
The lighter-skinned people were treated a little easier, kindlier.
It seemed to me. That's been my experience. And getting jobs and so forth. And they seemed to be a little better prepared because they came up in the white people's homes, such as cooks and servants or whatever.
Would you say those had the better jobs to start with?
Oh, yes. That's been my experience. And generally, that was the experience that existed at that time.
What did your older relatives tell you about the way white people treated colored people? They ever tell you about that?
Oh, yes. I witnessed some of it. I thought that We were treated very kindly, considering everything. Because of our churches and our schools, we had support for all our black colleges. We had support for all our small community schools from white people. And they just didn't care about the socializing, you know.
They didn't socialize with you then?
No. But they did respect us and trying to help us get hold of something.
Help yourselves.
That's right.
Do you think this was unusual, or do you feel this was different from the rest of the country and certainly the rest of the South? Did you have a different feeling about how whites were treating you compared to what you knew about other parts of the country?
I don't think it was much different than North or South or East or West. I think the Jim thought was that you have your place and we have our place. And I know Booker T. Washington, one of our great leaders, I know the antebellum days, he felt the same way, that let us make our own way with the help of our white friends. And he's the founder of the Tuskegee Institute, you know, his home in Virginia, Finch Hampton Institute. And he was the main